Check. Everything's working okay. Yep. Good morning and welcome back to NAETA 2017 Expo Center here in Houston, my hometown. We were talking with Bart Peterson this morning at the Dragonfly Podcast Lounge. So as we're kind of wrapping up the conference here, the exhibit hall is going to be closing early today. I definitely want to send a big shout out to Dragonfly Max for hosting the podcasting lounge and just the hospitality that they've shown me and any of the guests for the sports medicine broadcast. Also, Frio Hydration does an outstanding job of taking care of people. They're a company built to take care of people. A great experience here. Of course, Houston, my hometown, I get to sleep in my own bed and cuddle with my wife and that kind of stuff. So it probably makes it a little bit better. But it has been an amazing experience. Very cool facilities. Going to the Houston Methodist little after party things or their lounge, and going to the secondary school's athletic trainers party. And it's been a really, really good experience. And I would encourage anyone to make your way to NATA or plan and then make contact with people, as we talked about with Ken Keister in the secondary school's athletic trainer Facebook group. Talk to people, say, hey, what can I do to kind of get hooked up with some of those things. So Bart Peterson, welcome to the podcast. I know you told me you're a longtime listener. You've been listening to the podcast a lot. So welcome. Thank you for listening, and thank you for stepping up and being a part.
You bet. Anytime. This is a great experience and a great opportunity to share with the NATA members.
All right, so we're going to start off. You are chair of the Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Committee.
Correct.
All right, so
correct.
Tell me what is going on in the Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Committee for the NATA.
Well, before we do that, I'm going to thank you for coming out to the foundation Wild West Fun Night last night. I'm actually on the foundation board as well, so that's why I was there last night.
That was a great time too.
That was a great time last night. So thanks for coming out and supporting the foundation and research and education and all the things that go along with the foundation.
Yeah, that was
so
fun. Rob did a great job with the DJing. Food was good. My wife didn't know anything about craps, and so she learned to play craps, and she was betting and she was killing it.
Did you actually win anything last
night? Well, we actually just, when they said last roll, we gave our, she made her bet, we took our chips and handed them to somebody else and went home.
All right.
It was late, so
how much sleep you get last night?
I don't know, it's 6 hours, 7 hours, something like that.
Oh, man, you did well.
Bad.
I got about 4 last night.
Yeah, same.
4. I've been 4 a night for the last 5 nights, and I'm ready to get home and get some sleep. So, yeah, Secondary Schools is, I'm going to switch gears on you. Secondary Schools is doing lots and lots of stuff. We are very, very busy with what we're doing. One of our main focuses with awards, we would like to make sure we recognize folks for their excellent work. We have a lot of really good athletic trainers out there who just sit and plug away and do their job, and they're not actually out there looking for recognition. They're not looking for anything. They just provide care to kids and to the stakeholders, to their schools, the parents and the administration, the teachers, coaches. So they do a good job of that, and we need to recognize that. So we have a number of awards that we've worked with. We work with Gatorade really closely for the Gatorade Athletic Trainer of the Year Award for each district. And that's been going on. It went on for quite a while, and then it kind of died. And then Gatorade came to us a couple years ago and said, hey, what can we do? And he said, we need to bring that back. So they worked really close with us the last couple of 3 or 4 years. We put that back together. And you see from that Gatorade party the other night, that was some great athletic trainers up there getting recognized for that. So some of the problems we've had with that Gatorade award is that it's been kind of staggered on the nomination period. EATA District 1 and 2, they have their meeting in January. And so what they do is their nomination period was like September, but SWATA is in July the following year, and they don't even do the nomination period until March and April. So what we did this year, what we've done this year, is we're going to switch and we're going to put them all on the same nomination period. So if folks are looking to do that Gatorade Award, which is, you get like $5,000 worth of product. You get a whole bunch of Gatorade stuff, plus you get a trip to NHA.
Fully funded just, trip.
They just send you to NHA
hotel,
for the, yeah, the
for
whole
stuff.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's, man.
I know, I want to do something great just so I can be nominated.
Well, you're doing, this is great stuff right here. So, you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of great stuff. We need to recognize them. So make sure that you do that nomination period. Even for SWATA, that starts I've heard two different dates. I've heard August 15th and I've August 1st. So you got to be watching the NATA webpage. They'll all go up. All the districts will go up, and they'll all shut down into September. So we got to make sure that everybody gets their stuff in. Along those lines of that Gatorade Award, we have some really great nomination forms. I mean, just phenomenal nomination forms. And then you get nomination forms with a letter of recommendation that says, Joe Bob Billy, he be the greatest trainer today he is. He shows up and goes to work every day, and sometimes he doesn't even pick his nose when he's on the gator. And they write that in the letter, and then not quite that specific, but they write that in the letter, and that's all the letter of recommendation we get. So we worked with Gatorade this year, and they created a video to how to actually put your nomination packet together. We asked for some evidence of excellence. So we asked for copies of your emergency action plan, copies of different documents, or if you've remodeled your facility, you know, some plans or some pictures of that kind of stuff. So just provide some evidence to show that you're doing a great job at your school. So at Gatorade Award, they do a great job of taking care of the secondary schools. I don't know if you recognize maybe the early 2000s, they kind of forgot about the secondary schools, right? And they went away from us, and I think they recognize that we're a huge part of their market. So they came back, and they really want to take care of us, and they're doing a great job. So that award is, I mean, they fit about $5,000 worth of stuff. That's pretty cool. Those NFL sideline carts, have you seen those?
Yeah, $2,500 a piece.
Yeah, each winner gets one of those. So it's pretty cool stuff. They do a great job. So we have another award called the Servant's Heart Award. The Servant's Heart Award, most of the NATA awards are for doing stuff like in leadership, like you're a state president or a local leader, or maybe you're a district leader or an NATA leader, and you do some volunteer work that way to qualify for the Service Award or the Most Distinguished Award. We wanted to create an award just for athletic trainers who are awesome in their school and their school community. And they've been there forever, so we're not bouncing around and that kind of stuff. And I get that thing where you're looking and, you get out of school and I think I want to work here and this is my first job and I'll take a job where I go, but you start to get a little selective. So this award is called the Servant's Heart Award, and it actually, to qualify for that, you are in the school for a minimum of 15 years, and then you start qualifying for that. And then what it does is it recognizes people for being excellent community members. So you do your job, and you do your job great. But you're also working in the community. You're, the Boys and Girls Club. You're active in your church if that's what you want to do. Or maybe you're doing some volunteer work with the Lions Club or something like that. So you're really active, and people in your community know what an athletic trainer is. They know what an athletic trainer can do. You provide excellent care to your kids. And we know from studies that the longer you're in your employment setting, meaning I've been at Palo Verde for a couple of years, the longer I'm there, the better care I'm going to provide, because we get some established routines, the coaches get used to us, and when the coaches get used to us, they know how to work it, and we get used to coaches, and that's a two-way street there with those coaches, so the parents get used to you, and that helps as well. So that Servant's Heart Award, it's the same nomination period.
So my coworker, Bill, he has been at Pasadena High School, I tell this all the time, literally longer than I've been alive. I'm 36 years old. He's literally been, he's like 37 years at Pasadena High School. So.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal opportunity to recognize somebody because I know Bill, okay? He does a great job. Right? But he's not out trying to sit in meetings all day long at the NATA and that kind of stuff. He wants to provide care for his kids, and this is a way to recognize him for that excellent care. So we also have an award called the AT Advocate Award, and this one isn't necessarily for...
Does this one default to Mike Hopper?
No.
No?
No, because it's actually okay. For... But he does a great job of that. You know, he really does do that and do a great job of it. It's more for people who are maybe not an athletic trainer. Somebody outside who promotes the profession, somebody who has done a lot. Like the first awardee was Jim Thornton, former president of NATA. This year was Gatorade for promoting. And, you know, Gatorade has participated in the AT initiative with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually put money into the pot to help fund that AT initiative where they're putting athletic trainers in schools. So it went to Gatorade this year. And then next year, maybe you know somebody that has done a great job. It could maybe go to a doctor who's done a great job on promoting.
I know Dr. David Geyer does a lot.
There you go. Yeah. So there's an opportunity to nominate some folks there. That's a great podcast as well, by the way. If you're looking for a good podcast, that's a good one too. So anyway, we want to make sure that we have some nominations to recognize people who are doing excellent work. I know a lot of people, but I might need to know more to find that excellence. And you know people that I don't know. So if everybody nominates the people who are excellent, we have some great opportunities to recognize some people.
All right, so that, there's a lot of awards that you just, the more people that know about them, the better candidates we can have, and the more valuable the award is.
Correct, yeah. Well, and we definitely want to make sure that we don't devalue the award, right? But the more we have, the more nominations we have, we can really find that excellent candidate to make sure that they get recognized. So none of them have the option right now to recirculate. So if you don't win it this year, you're automatically nominated for next year. So if you don't win it this year, you have to renominate for next year. But and none of them say you can't self-nominate either. So if you wanted to self-nominate and coordinate all that kind of stuff, you know, that's available as well. So we just want to make sure we're recognizing good people for doing good things.
Yeah, so real quick, I know during March, like at the end of each podcast, I ask the guest, hey, who's an athletic trainer you would like to thank? And again, this is a great way to thank them. And in GHATS, our local organization, we have awards. And part of the online online submission process, it sends a copy of that nomination email to the recipient, right? Because even if they don't receive the award, just knowing that somebody thought about you, that they took the time, that they wrote these good things about you, it is thanking them. And so it is important to thank those people who helps you along the way. And, you know, maybe it's 10 years from now and you realize that professor really did do an awesome service to you rather than just, you know, holding your hand and patting you on the back, but they really just kicked you to get going. So take the time, find your mentors, find an athletic trainer who's doing something really good and nominate them.
Absolutely. You know, a thank you note goes a long ways. And this is just an excellent way to send a thank you note.
Right.
So, you know, we've all received them. We get them from the kids at the end of school year every year. Hopefully everybody does. A thank you note goes a long, long ways. Very nice to receive. So, yeah. So, other than awards, we got a lot of stuff going on, too. There's a thing called transition to practice.
All right.
So, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, NETA created a transition to practice work group to figure out how to help people as they leave school and move into the workforce specifically, but we identified that maybe changing settings involves this as well. If you're moving from a college to a high school, there's a learning curve there. If you're moving from a high school to college, or maybe you're going into clinical and going clinical outreach, there's a learning curve there, if with billing or whatever else. And so what is it you need to know to be successful in your job? So we all know anecdotally that there's people out there that they come into the workforce and they struggle a little bit that first little while, and we want to make sure that we're helping them. So a lot of the other healthcare professions have a transition to practice plan. It may not be called that. Like in nursing, that first little while in nursing, you come out and you actually have to do some more learning, even though you passed the test and graduated and all that kind of stuff. You still have to do some learning and to make sure your skills are right where they need to be before you actually get set off on your own. So we're doing that for athletic trainers. So the Secondary Schools Committee is developing a plan. A welcome packet is what we're calling it. Welcome to the setting. College University is doing the same thing. COPA, the Clinical for Practice Committee on Practice Advancement, mm-hmm. is doing the same thing. So all of the different settings, work settings, are developing the tools and the resources to help an athletic trainer know or what to do and how to be successful in their practice. So we have a welcome packet. It involves a number of things. Number one, everything you need to know. Now, there's basically three people we're involved here with, right? So if you are just took a job, your employer needs to know what to provide you, right? So where are the keys? How do I order something? Okay. How do I call in sick? How do I take time off? If something, you know, if I need to communicate, who do I need to communicate that to? So all of those things are involved in that kind of stuff. Then there's also the athletic trainer themselves probably should be able to identify their weaknesses and their strengths, right? I'm pretty good with rehab, but I'm really bad with evaluation. Well, maybe we need to work on some evaluation if you're in a high school, because you're going to do a lot of evaluation.
By yourself,
and you don't have somebody to help you. So some keys on how to actually go out and get some extra learning on your weak spots, okay? And not necessarily to say, oh, you're bad, but we want to make a stronger athletic trainer to provide better care. And the last one is to work with the athletic training education programs. So there's a key part of this that goes back to the school that the student graduates from, and they actually come out and help mentor, or a preceptor or something like that, help mentor that student and follow them into the first 6 months to a year of their professional career to make sure everything's going okay. Just follow-up calls, thank you notes, you know, that kind of stuff, just to make sure that everything's okay. As we go through that education program, we're finding some holes in what students are taught. You know, I was never taught that.
Right.
Well, why not? It's in the KD standards, right? So they're going back to the education programs and trying to fill some holes and fill some gaps. Maybe you were taught it, but you were on your cell phone at the time. Okay. So maybe it's not necessarily the program's fault, but it's kind of a threefold process. So this welcome packet we're putting together should be up on we got a lot of stuff done this week. So as soon as they can get back and get it processed, we should have it up on the website, NETA website here really soon.
So NETA.org/then where?
So you go to, it's probably going to be in the member resources, so you're going to have to log in. So, and I don't know after you get logged in what the slashes work as. But you log in and then you go to the settings, professional interest, and then settings, and it'll be secondary schools, and you go to the resources page. But we're also sending them out to the employers as well. You know, it'll be available for employers. So how are you going to, employers aren't members of NETA, so we're going to have it available for employers as well. There is also a mentor program. So each district chair, so we, on the secondary schools committee, we have 10 district chairs. And the 10 members represent the 10 districts of NETA. So each district chair is collecting mentors, names of people who are willing to work with people to help them make sure they're successful. So like in SWATA, down here in Texas, SWATA, and you'd go to Jason Cates and tell him, hey, I want to be a mentor. Or maybe you go to Jason Cates and say, hey, I need a mentor. I need somebody to work with. And NETA is actually working on a Match.com type looking mentor thing, and I hate to put it that way, but everybody immediately understands. So, you know, here's me, and I identify I need that evaluation piece, and I look for a mentor who's really good with evaluation, so maybe they can mentor me in that kind of stuff. Or maybe I identify that I'm really not good with communications and communicating with my coaches, so maybe I need to find somebody who's good with communications, and they can help mentor me in my communication skills. So I can, when I'm talking to my coaches or talking to parents, or I have to stand up in front of all the parents at that parent meeting, and I don't really want to talk very much, you know, help with that kind of stuff. So you're going to have mentors with skills, you're going to have athletic trainers with skills, and kind of put them together so that we can make stronger athletic trainers. So The NETA mentor program is not quite ready yet. They've got the software. They're plugging stuff together. It's probably about a year away or so. But in the meantime, we're still running our secondary school mentor program.
So we can go to match.com/NATA?
No. Okay. It'll be NATA.org. NATA.org. We're not going to match.com, and it's definitely not Tinder. That kind of stuff ain't going to happen. But this transition in practice is huge in taking that green, you know, some of the schools here in Texas got 6 athletic trainers at them. Right? So they're going to have a built-in mentorship program. They're going to have a built-in orientation program. But let's say you get hired at Chinle High School in Chinle, Arizona, which is up in the middle of the Navajo Indian Reservation. There's not an athletic trainer within 200 miles. Okay? So your mentor is going to be over Facebook, the telephone, you know, however that's going to work. And if you're on an island like that and you're all alone and you're a first-time athletic trainer and you're green out of school, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, think about the learning curve there and making sure that, you know, I got to get all this emergency action plans and all this paperwork done, but I also have to care for kids and injuries. So this is, I hate to say a checklist because I don't want people checking off the box, but it's more of a list. Make sure you get this done. Make sure you have this addressed, that kind of stuff.
And then even like you're saying there, if it's in the middle of a Navajo reservation, you're going to have to learn the culture. And
absolutely.
Expectations within that.
Yeah, I mean that would be huge. And we actually have Arizona was one of the NFL schools, NFL states where they went in on this pilot project this year. And we had some schools that we tried to get on the reservation to actually apply for the grants to make sure that we could get those kids up there. And there were some other areas around the country in Illinois and Oklahoma and Oregon that did the same thing. They identified schools using the Atlas program that was talked about earlier.
Right.
So we identified schools that don't have an athletic trainer, and we specifically marketed to them to say, you know, this is a grant that you can use to hire an athletic trainer. So then when we get that athletic trainer there, we know that they're there and we can help them become successful. So... yeah. So any question about transition to practice?
No, I think there's a lot of great resources on NATA, and unless somebody is telling you about them, you don't know where to look. Like Chris Shattuck brought me a copy of the NATA Position Improvement Guide. And
yeah.
That I didn't know that was there, but then I've looked through that, and it's a step-by-step guide, and that's essentially what you're saying. And so the more we talk about it here on the podcast, or we tweet about it, or we post about it, just, hey, this resource is available, and we don't have to send out the whole thing or mail out the whole packet, but we're telling people that it's available, and then that draws them in. So you as the listener, if you need this information, go to NATA.org and then resources. Or if you know somebody, then maybe print it off and hand it to them, or maybe send them the direct link to that spot and help them out. Because we can get lost in looking for resources and going to the secondary school's Facebook page and, you know, just asking on there. But if you know somebody who needs this, then reach out and touch them.
Absolutely. Help them out. So the secondary school resources are at under that professional interest, secondary schools, and then under secondary schools, there's a resource. So if you were going to college, they would have a resource page as well for the colleges. So ours is under the secondary schools and then resources there. So we have all of the position improvement guide that you mentioned, and it's not necessarily a cookbook. It's more of a you know, this is something you need to be aware of and address and make sure that you're good here and that you understand what's going on in your employment setting here, and then move to the next step and move to the next step and move to the next step. So, and there are a number of resources. One of the biggest resources just put on there, where there's a case studies book, which is awesome. So if you go to the case studies, download that. We use that in my classes. I teach a couple of sports medicine classes, and I use that as some learning experiences. We have a number, I mean like close to 100 case studies, and we've de-identified them so nobody can identify who we're actually talking about. But case studies of Joe Bob tripped and fell, ripped his toenail off, you know, and so you're treating his toenail, and mom comes in and says he hit his head too, but you didn't treat his head and concussion, so now what do? You know, or the communication piece, or some legal pieces, ethic piece, and there's about 100 of those case studies. So that's at that resource page. The secondary school value model. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I'm pretty sure I've heard of it.
Okay. So if I took a dollar bill out of my pocket, that would be worth something, right?
Right.
Okay. Is that valuable?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a difference between worth and value?
I'm thinking it's a trick question, so I'm going to go ahead and say yes, but yeah. I can't define what it is.
So what we need to do, you know, when we were talking to school administrators and superintendents, we need to show value, okay? Because all they see is we're spending money, we're not bringing in money, right? We don't get gate receipts for us. You know, nobody has any gate receipts for athletic trainers to go watch us stand on the sidelines.
Right.
And nobody wants to go watch me stand on the sidelines anyway, so because I ain't that good looking. So we need to show value.
I get cheers from the crowd whenever I run out on the field, so.
That's good. They're watching. Never mind. So we need to show value to the administrators and who we work for. When they're making those decisions, they go, yeah, we can't get rid of them. They're worth, they have value to us. So this is a way to go in and identify the key indicators, that provide your value at that school. So do you provide financial benefit to your parents and the students? Absolutely, right? Do you provide an evaluation, a referral if it's appropriate to refer somewhere else, treatment and rehabilitation down the road if that's needed as well? Well, that's valuable. And the more you do of that, you can show your value to the administrators. But you have value as well as keeping kids in class. So they're not leaving school to go to get that therapy. That's additional value, okay? There was a session today. I was checking the date. Session today talking about insurance companies now are reducing their insurance rate that they charge the school district if the school district employs an athletic trainer.
That's valuable. I know Jim Berry was on Tuesday, and he said that theirs is lower because they're using the value model.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's valuable, and then you got to remind your superintendent, if you cut the athletic trainer, your insurance rate's going to go up, right? And that means it's going to cost you more here, and it's probably going to be more than what I'm costing you here. So it's, you know, it's a decision you got to make. You're going to pay for less coverage and less care and, you know, risk a lawsuit down the road. So, you know, there's some big deals there with that value model. That's huge, huge, especially right now. And part of that is outcomes and outcomes research. So I'm not familiar enough with Dragonfly to know, do you guys provide outcomes? Do you guys know if you have outcomes measures? Okay, so, and you're going to use the already established, verified, validated outcomes tools that are already out there on the market.
That's some of the plan.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of getting started with those features to be able to not only to be able to present the outcomes, but to just present for the school some of the data of what injuries are happening at their school and how can we make changes to help with those injuries.
That's fantastic. So that's great data to show your value to your administrator, because what you do then is you go through and you're filling out that outcome survey, right? Joe Bob comes in, he stubbed his toe. We identify as a lower extremity injury. They fill out, how do you feel today? I feel crappy right now, right? So then we work on him over the period of time, and then they establish that he's better, right? He fills out again, and he says, I feel great, okay? And there's some Likert scales and that kind of stuff to make sure that you're not just, I feel great, and to make the data happy. But then that gives you an idea that you're actually doing what you think you're doing.
Right.
Right? Then you can take that data at the end of the year and say, look at our outcomes data. This is a national average. This is what we do. We're actually above average. We're better at what we do than even the people down the street, you know. And then maybe you market that as, if you have open enrollment, you market that to say, come to my school, we do a better job of treating our injuries when they do get hurt than the people down the street,
right.
You know.
We've been working with Gwinnett Medical Center. They've been really pushing that out of Georgia, and what they want to see is daily outcomes. So they've asked us to build a tool where on a daily basis they can provide feedback on the athlete can provide feedback on the outcome of their actual treatment session with the athletic trainer, and they want to be able to follow that kind of daily response to what's going on.
So. That is phenomenal.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. There's an octopus moving around the table here. I'm not sure what's going on.
Right.
So, so that outcomes data, you take that back, and you know, that shows your value to your administrators,
right.
And then you can actually, there's people that have used that data and that secondary school value model and actually increased the number of athletic trainers at our school. And so whenever you add something to your program, you add a team, add a facility, add a venue, then you know, you automatically need to say, well, here's the value we provide. You're adding this. You need to provide those services for that extra thing that you just added. So if you add a team, then you need to add athletic training and healthcare. So,
and there's lots of ways to do that. Dragonfly is not the only way. We want to build a great product for athletic trainers. So
right.
And I'm going to let y'all keep talking about the outcome stuff. You don't want to hear about our product the whole time. So.
Okay. Well, outcomes, no matter how you do it. Now, there is some new opportunities coming out for outcomes that should be showing up here in the near future. Yep, I got moved, didn't I? Should be showing up in the near future that will make it really easy to provide that data to your school, and you would have control of that at your school to make sure that you're doing. I'm going to actually convert what I've been doing and start using some outcome stuff to make sure that I'm doing what I say I'm doing. You know, it's, you need to measure what you're doing. So I'm not really into those standardized tests, but I need to actually be able to verify that I'm producing results I think I'm producing.
I recently spoke with one of our principals. She used to be an assistant athletic director. I know her. We had a pretty good working relationship, and that was essentially the thing. You know, I want there to be athletic trainers in our intermediate schools because those 7th and 8th graders play tackle football or volleyball or basketball. And one of the things she was, Jeremy, I need data. Show me the hard facts, and then I can't deny it. Right now, it's easy for me to look and see I need another math teacher. Right now, it's easy for me to say I need another math teacher far more than I need an athletic trainer.
Yep.
Show me the numbers. Show me the data. I am in support of what you're doing, but as a principal of this school, I need to be able to say, look, school board, this is the information. These are the numbers. This, you know, this is the attendance. This is the cost. This is the this. Exactly what you're saying. And again, there's so many people I feel talking about it. Maybe it's because I'm looking for that information that I see it, but we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to use the value model. And as you guys are preparing that resource that's available to members of the NATA, you go on there, you find it, and you work through the process.
Yeah, we'll be publicizing that that tool when it comes out, obviously, and we'll push that pretty hard because it's going to be a way to collect data that the athletic trainer doesn't have to do it. So it's going to be on the athlete to produce that data. They're going to log on their phone. They're on their phones all day long anyway. Why not do something productive? They'll log on their phone. They'll do it all there, and it'll go to your data file. So that value model, you know, a couple of years ago in my school district, in about March, they said, you know what? You guys are on the table. You may not have jobs next year. And we were like, oh, right? What are we going to do? Well, some of us have been doing fairly decent job at collecting data.
Mm-hmm.
So we started combining and pooling data, showing value, and we actually got to go and, you know, get that to our administrator. He took it to the school board, and they got that taken off the chopping block because we were able to show value. So you can use that epidemiology you're doing, that surveillance study. You're doing your record keeping, and you have X number of ankle sprains, and you have X number of knee sprains. But are you really effective in taking care of those? So I, number one, I'm going to use it to improve my practice. Number two, if it's going to improve my practice, I'm going to share it with administrators. If it's not, I'm going to fix what I'm doing to make sure that I'm improving my practice and improving the outcomes for the patient. Because I need to have my kids getting better, right? I don't need to be doing stuff just to do stuff, to say I do it and have them not getting better. So I'm going to improve my practice, and then if the data shows it, I'm going to show it to my administrator. So it's big, and it's going to be fun. And so whatever you do, I hate double entry. I hate, in my school district, I was doing my own record keeping, and then I had to do their record keeping, which was paper, and mm-hmm. it just drove me nuts, but they required the paper. And I was like, it's driving me nuts. So another reason to go electronic, Dragonfly, or some of the other options out there, is so that you don't have to double enter. And the tool that the NETA is coming up and Dragonfly is working on will make it really easy to collect that data without the athletic trainer having to double enter or put stuff in. So that's key. You know, I'm busy enough. I'm all alone in my school. I have probably 300 participants and one or two athletes and 1,600 kids in the school. And, you know, I'm busy enough, busier than a one-legged paper hanger, and busy enough to actually have to add another layer to my record keeping. So,
yeah, that's always the thing is, you know, here in Texas, at Pasadena, we got it pretty good. There's two of us at each school. We teach sports medicine only. But there's some schools where I've seen it on social media where it's an athletic trainer teaching three different classes. So there's three preps. They're teaching six totals, like sections. And then they're doing the athletic training stuff after school. And so, again, it is adding a little bit more work, but hopefully to improve the position for you and for everybody that follows you.
Absolutely. Now, you can use that to change your position, too, and get rid of one or two of those classes. You know, and maybe just teach two or three classes of the same thing so you eliminate a prep as
right.
well. So you're always looking to use that data to fix what you, if you need new facilities, you need a larger budget, you need to change your class load, whatever it is you need to address, that's how you get it done. You have to have data, and it has to be valid and reliable data. Just because you have 100 ankle sprains, you know, maybe the lawnmower needs to mow some lawns, but just because you have 100 ankle sprains doesn't mean that you need an athletic trainer, because they have 100 ankle sprains. If you weren't there, are you getting the kids better? And that's what that outcome statement does. So, great.
All right, lots of great resources available. Again, you NETA.org bet. Or match.com/NETA, right?
No.
Don't do that.
No.
But there's lots of tools.
I blew it on that one. They got a free ad out of it, and we didn't even get a sponsorship. Maybe we will now, right?
Maybe.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. But lots of great tools. Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Committee. Again, if you do the same thing you've always done, you'll get the same things you have always gotten. If you want to change, then collect the data, find the resources, talk to people, and do something different, right? And again,
absolutely.
Talking to Bart would be a great way, talking to somebody in your area, a mentor, thanking them for one of the awards. So, Bart, again, give me some of the best ways to contact you and to get a hold of the Secondary Schools Athletic Trainer Committee.
So my email, and blow it up, that's fine. My email provider doesn't like me because I get a lot of email, but blow up my email. It's A-R-I-Z, as in zebra, A-T-C, at cox.net. So ARIZ@cox.net. I'm on Twitter at Bart_Peterson. LinkedIn, I'm on there. I don't know what the LinkedIn thing is. I'm too busy to worry about LinkedIn. My name's not Mike Hopper, so I don't have to worry about LinkedIn. But I do the Twitter thing. Pretty good at that, and I follow the Facebook page, and they can tag me on Facebook and ask me a question there, IM me there, that kind of stuff. Phone number is, do I want to do that? I don't know.
That's right.
Match.com on here right now. I'm not sure I want to put the phone number out there.
Sorry, but we'll go with that. They can email you or get a hold of you and then get your phone number that way.
Fantastic. That would be great. So then let me just run down the members of the committee. Okay, so District 1 is Denise Alosa. District 1 is the Northeast. District 2 is John Moyer. So he's in Pennsylvania. District 3 is George Wham out in South Carolina. District 4 is Dale Grooms. He's up in Chicago. District 5 is Mike Catterson in Tulsa, Oklahoma. District 6 is Jason Cates out in Arkansas. Y'all know Jason, I'm sure. District 7 is Lisa Walker in Utah. District 8 is Chase Paulson in California. District 9, Chris Snoddy. Wow, I had to make sure I counted the right ones. Chris Snoddy in Nashville, Tennessee. And District 10 is Shelley Jones out in Oregon. So you can get a hold of them. And, you know, if you're in that area, you know who they are. Or you can get a hold of me either way, and we can move stuff around. But, again, get a hold of me, Bart Peterson. Use Twitter, whatever you need to do. Get a hold of me, and we'll make stuff happen for you.
All right, well, Mark Peterson, I appreciate you joining us on the Sports Medicine Broadcast live at the NATA 2017 Expo here in Houston at the Dragonfly booth. Again, the support from the Frio Dragonfly booth has been phenomenal, and I really encourage you as a listener to make it to one of these conventions, and then beforehand, do your work and get connected, get involved, and, you know, make a difference.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.